This chapter deals with Kitty and Jason, two British tourists on the Greek island, who, out of boredom, have become interested in the mystery and go up to the monastery on the island's mountain to see the scene of the recent murders. 12. They caught the bus to Talos. They sat in the heat-drenched atmosphere, the only two passengers, struggling to get air in the closed and cramped seats. They passed ruined yards and scorched fields, farmers who looked plucked from another century, the terrain constantly puckered and folded, a landscape made for hiding. They climbed narrow roads away from the shoreline and into the mountains, the deep interior, the heart of the island. She'd read about it in her guidebook, a large, densely forested centre. Locals lived there, tourists never visited. The guidebook mentioned that the deep islanders were suspicious of tourists and sometimes hostile. It warned against going without a local guide. It was easy to get lost, and help might not be forthcoming. But of the cult and what had happened on the island 33 years ago, there was no mention. Of course not, Kitty thought. It was a guidebook. They didn't want to put people off. She stared at the map. The island was divided into two by a mountain. At its summit sat the monastery in ruins. The north side of the island was undeveloped, unreachable except by foot. They climbed steadily for half an hour, the open windows bringing no relief in the stifling air. The roads were narrow and looked only recently cut from the mountain. The forest swarmed around them, the trees green and unbelievably lush, rock breaking through the brown earth like a network of scars. Darkness eclipsed them many times as the overhangs of cliff blotted out the sun. Jason had no idea where the girl was found, but he didn't tell Kitty that. He'd been encouraged by her excitement and didn't want to disappoint her. Besides, there would be nothing to see, just a monastery, a picture postcard view of the sea. It would be as if they had bumped into each other by chance, two lone tourists in the middle of nowhere. They passed no one on the way up, and the driver stopped where the road did. They were still some way from the monastery, but the rest had to be done by foot. They followed the path through the dense forest, lost from the light, canopied by trees. They climbed in silence until they found the trees clearing, the sun and sky suddenly spilling down on them. At the head of an outcrop of rock, they could see the square stone monastery, which perched like a vulture on the island's shoulders. Kitty looked up at the massive granite cross, but she felt nothing. She wanted so much to believe in something greater than the world in front of her, a mystery beyond the numinous, the way her parents had, the way they tried to teach her. She yearned for it, but it was not enough, this yearning, and belief was so far away, like love when you've never felt it. It's not black, she finished his thought. You expected it to actually be black? The Black Monastery. She'd read about it in her guidebook. The phrase chilled her, the way certain words took on specific resonances. She loved reading about old places, spaces of devotion and faith, rooms which held more than their occupants, the way architecture mirrored desire. The first monks had settled here 500 years ago. She'd read about the sanctity which was so well preserved that trespassers were summarily executed. Then it had been sacked, like all monasteries had, and the bodies of the monks hung from the eaves. There was confusion over when it had next been anointed. There were legends of satanic and pagan worship in the ruins of the old monastery, demons and witchcraft. Her guidebook had laughed at that, said these islands were full of superstition and dread, isolation bred it, a changing world fed it. Eventually, the new structure had been built over the old one like a shroud. Monks came again, and the island blossomed as a trade centre. This lasted until the war. The Nazis took over the building and used it as an interrogation centre. Only in the 60s did it revert to a place where monks could once again prostrate themselves before God under the harsh sun. Then, abruptly, some 10 years later, the monastery was desanctified and lay empty until it was redeveloped into a tourist attraction in the mid-90s. When she'd read all that, she'd intended to visit, but that was for history. Now, she knew they were going up there to see the scene of a crime, and although she didn't expect to find anything, it had been cleared by the police after all, she felt a snap charge of excitement in this mission, something which served as a salve from the slowly pulsating town below, finally waking up, going to the bars, preparing for another long night of dancing and drugging.